Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 66 countries, such as the United States, Canada, Australia, Panama, UK, Belgium, and a whole host of other countries. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, but join us and be on the lookout for our 5:30 p.m. episodes as well. You can join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community on Facebook. And I ask that you subscribe and leave a rating and review for our show. You can do that on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Google Play Music app, or wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. Please leave us a review and subscribe to the show. On the show, I have entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, amazing people who are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on the show during our live broadcast, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number 657-383-1109. So please help me welcome to the show my friend, Trista Long. How's it going, Trista?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. And this topic that we're going to talk about today has got to be one of the most taboo topics that really nobody wants to talk about in life and in business. Like, it shows up in many different forms inside of our personal and professional life. And really nobody wants to talk about it. It's almost like that ew, it's got cooties, like, I don't want that type of thing.
Yeah, it just feels icky for most people. It's just not somewhere people want to go. But we're going to name it, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to own it. So
I love it. I love it. So the title of this episode is Growing Through Failure with Trista Long. Trista has been a nurse for 23 years and have been a successful leader for 16 of those, specializing in staff development. She is also a growth mindset mentor and works with people to reframe their mindset to not just go through failure, but to grow from it. Trista believes that failure is simply a myth, a perception. She believes that every event in our lives is for a reason, and that even those events that cause us pain give us the opportunity to grow and to step forward in life toward our true purpose. As a keynote or breakout session speaker, Trista's engaging and interactive talks provide a framework of growth that's easily implemented so the audience views failure differently and is not afraid of it. Trista founded Step Forward to Fly Mentoring to help those reframe the way they react to failure so they can rebound quickly to the next level. If you want to know more about what Trista does, go to www.stepforwardtofly.com. Stepforwardtofly.com. Also in the show notes is her Facebook page, the Step Forward to Fly Coaching. So, Trista, the first question that I have to ask is why? What is your deep why for what you do?
You know, it's one of those things that from a very young age, I was told that I was meant to do good things, that I was put on this planet for a reason, and that I was meant to serve others. And I found a realization of that thought in nursing. And that's where I have been able to serve people and to you know, just help people go through some of the most traumatic and sometimes the most frightening moments of their life. I've been able to serve that purpose over the last 23 years of my nursing career, and it's just, there is such a feeling of satisfaction and fulfillment, and even in the littlest things, just holding someone's hand in a moment of fear is transformational for me, not just for that person, but it's just knowing that there's something bigger than you out there and that you get to be a part of that. It's just something I can't sometimes articulate very well, but there's just that feeling of there's so much more to do. And it's not about being here, isn't about me. It's about what I can do to help other people and how do I serve and help other people be better.
No, I love that. And so why did you choose failure, which I absolutely love? And you're tackling a topic that literally John Maxwell himself tackled in a book called Failing Forward. And I love that you're doing the same in the sense that you are literally telling people, like, you need to reframe the way you see failure.
Right. And that's absolutely true. And first of all, putting my name in the same sentence as John Maxwell is very humbling, but it's absolutely true that failure, I think, from our society is something that we're taught to fear, that we're taught that if we fail, that we're weak or that we're not good enough for some reason. There's a negative attachment to failure. And I really have gotten to the point in my life where I've been through some failures in my life. I've had some setbacks. And I'm at that point now where I'm like, but going through those is how I got to where I am today. And I'm in a pretty freaking good place. You know, I've got a successful career. I'm raising two girls that are actually pretty decent people. I actually like my kids. They're growing up to be pretty
well, people. That's good.
I don't fear sending them out into the world, you know, that kind of thing. And so, but being able to reframe those failures into opportunities and seeing them for what they are, which is an opportunity to do better, really has changed the way I look at failure. And so that's where my belief in that it simply doesn't exist. It's something that we've made up as a society, that we've attached this ugly thing to it and made it a bad thing. But, you know, you look at people that are successful in our society, like I think of people like Steve Jobs. I'm sure people told him nuts when he said, I want to put a computer in everybody's home. Well, you have one in your back pocket now. You know, we carry it around in our purses and on our being, and people laughed at him. And I'm sure he did not succeed the first time he tried.
Right.
People like that we think, oh, they're so successful. Well, they didn't get there easily. They didn't not trip over themselves. They didn't have epic failure. You know, they had epic failure, certain of it.
Right.
We don't hear stories. So why is it so bad? It's a thing. It happens and we manage it. We grow from it. It's how we become different.
Yeah, you know,
I
love that you had mentioned like Steve Jobs and that whole thing, because, you know, some people think like, oh my God, they're an overnight success. Oh my God. And I had a couple guests on the show that talked about this, and they were like, yeah, I'm an overnight success for the last 10 years. Like, it wasn't like I just came out of, like, Tony Robbins did not come out of the womb with a microphone, you know, motivating audiences. You know, Steve Jobs did not come into this world with a computer attached to him. You know,
exactly.
it was innovative. It was something different. It was something that he believed in. But they are these things, the people that we see successful, who are the epitome of success. Jeff Bezos with Amazon and Gary Vaynerchuk and Tony Robbins and all these, you know, Grant Cardone, everybody who we think is deemed as successful will tell you that they've wasted millions of dollars and invested in things that didn't really happen. You know, like I invested in this one thing because I thought it was going to be a $1 million company and it failed. So we look at failures. Oh my gosh, I don't want to do that. But there's so much learning inside of our failures that people fail to realize, literally.
Right. Well, and if you're not learning, you can't grow. And things that grow die. So it's imperative for our survival that we grow. And if we have to do that through failures and through things that don't succeed the first time, that doesn't mean we give up. It means we have an opportunity to rework it, to look at it differently, to gain new perspective, and to go forward. And at some point, the things we're working on, we're either going to say, okay, I've done everything I can with this, and it's still not successful, still not a failure. It means that we learned something out of that. We may have to dig for the lesson a little, and that's okay. We have to dig. It's not easy, and we have to work at it. And then there's the other things that it's like, okay, I tweaked this, and I've made some change to it, and now look at it. It's awesome. And we go forward with that. So it can go either way, but no matter how it turns out and whatever the end result is, you still gain value and lessons out of it.
Oh, 100%.
That's the focus we need to look at. That's the piece that we need to keep focused on.
Yep. 100% agree. So you had said that, you know, you had learned through some of your failures and that you went through some things that really catapulted you into becoming a speaker and really a growth mindset speaker, growth mindset mentor, and a failure speaker. So can you talk quickly about maybe one or two things, maybe a transformational moment that really put you on the path to what you're doing now?
Absolutely. There's been a few over the years as I was in my college years, and I didn't recognize it at the time for what it was. But what happened was this summer, I was fired from a job. And it was the first I've been employed since I was 14 years old. Like I said, I've been a nurse for 23 years and been very successful in my career. And this was the first job I'd ever been fired from. And I was devastated and felt like a huge failure. How could this happen? What just happened? I had no idea how to manage it, how to process it, how to even wrap my brain around what was going on in my life. And so what happened was I wallowed in my victimization for, I don't know, a few days, probably a week. Had days where I'm like, nope, not getting out of this bed. You can't make me, not doing it. Don't care. And then at some point, it was rough. I'm 45 years old, and being that that's the first time that's ever happened to me, truly had no skill set on how to deal with it. No idea. And then I looked at my children. My daughters are 16 and 11. And it occurred to me that how I walk through this, whether that be with grace or whether that be dragging myself through it just as clumsily as I possibly can, they're watching. And they're going to learn what this is supposed to look like and how to manage it by watching what I do. And that to me was like a ton of bricks. And so I started trying to look for silver lining. One, because they were watching, and two, because I feel like it was something I was doing.
You were trying to look for what?
I was trying to look for the silver linings. Where were my lessons?
Silver lining, got it.
Yeah, I need to know where my lessons were and what, like, people kept telling me, and oh my God, when you're in the midst of all of this stuff and somebody walks up to you and they say, well, things happen for a reason. It just infuriated me. But it did. I was like, but why? Nobody could tell me what reason I had.
Right. Oh, gosh. That's how, you know, oh, man. I hear that a lot. Like, I hear, like, oh, everything happens for a reason. Like, that's their way of dealing with it. You know what I mean? Like, well, everything's got a purpose, you know? Like,
right.
It's almost
nobody
like their way of accepting failure.
Yes. And that's crap. We're not accepting failure. That's just bull. So
what
I
do
really
they do? So in that case, then are they just masking it? Or like when somebody says, well, everything happens for a reason, or, you know, though it was meant to be, like, are they just masking their failure? Or like, why do they do that?
I think it's because they really can't find a reason. You know, they're like, mm-hmm. Well, it happens for a reason. But the end of that sentence is, but I don't know what that reason is.
Right.
It's a way of really coming up with a reason. Well, it was just supposed to happen. Well, maybe. But we need to find the why. Why was it supposed to happen? What's on the other side of this? That's the question.
Yeah.
And people say that to you when you're going through it because truly they don't know what else to say. You know, they just don't know what else to say because they don't have a reason either. You know. So what I did was I started looking for, obviously there's a reason here somewhere. I need to figure this out. What am I supposed to learn? What's the lesson? One was that people watch you all the time. And they're going to watch how you go through these things. But I had to pick myself up. I had to function through my life. And in the meantime, I needed to be open to whatever opportunity this experience was supposed to afford me. I had no idea what that looked like. I did not know if I would see it when it came to me. I did not have a clue what that looked like, but I needed to be open to those opportunities. And so what happened was I started thinking about this. So me being a speaker and me kind of getting leadership out there outside of my day-to-day work has been in the back of my mind for years. But this particular moment was now's that time. Now, go. Do that thing. And go and talk about this story and show people how to walk through failure with grace, with your head held high, and to move on to other things. And so being open to that voice in my head was super important.
Right.
And then I needed to figure out my how. Like, okay, I'm supposed to do this thing, but I don't have a clue how to start this business. I don't know how to get in touch with people. I don't know how to get my name out there. None of that. So I found mentors. I started working with a coach that helped me with the actual business piece of it. You and I have worked together to really hone my message and what's my audience and who am I looking for. So we've worked on that. And then the fear came in of the imposter syndrome. What if I'm good enough? What if people don't buy what I'm selling? What if they think I'm full of crap or whatever? So I had to then be fearless in my pursuit of what I'm doing.
Yep.
And so working with people and connecting with people on Facebook and in different groups and listening to different podcasts of people that are doing these things, I've been able to find ways around that fear of not knowing how to do this and not really understanding are people going to be open to me talking about this stuff. And so I'm at that point where I'm kind of breaking through that fear of, you know what, if people laugh, people laugh. If people think I'm full of it, then so be it. That's their opinion. I'm still going to go with it because this is my purpose. And then I started kind of, this all happened sort of simultaneously as well, but I also realized that I needed to be grateful for the things that I do have. Yes, I lost a job that I loved. I felt embarrassed and humiliated, and I had a very emotional response to that failure. And then my analytical side started kicking in a little bit and I'm like, okay, we got to pick ourselves up and we got to move on. We got stuff to do. But I also started looking for things that I was grateful for. And actually, this is kind of funny that we're doing this episode today, because I just read your post about 66 days of creating a habit. And part of your morning ritual is being grateful. And so in the meantime, with all of this, I've gotten a new job, and I got the opportunity with a job to go to a conference where I saw Rich Bluhney speak. Rich Bluhney is a nurse who is a motivational speaker, and he talks about gratefulness. And in his family, they look for yellow cars, and every time they see a yellow car, they all have to say something that they're grateful for. And so I started practicing that and started looking for, and I actually have a planner. I still carry a paper planner. Yes, I know. I'm old school. I can't help it.
I love it.
And it's a passion planner, and I use mine a little bit differently because every day I write three things in my planner that I'm grateful for, and I write them down.
Cool.
Because I like to go back and reread them. And many times it's, you know, they'll repeat themselves and things like that, but there is something very empowering about being grateful for even the smallest thing. You know, I have a car that gets me back and forth to work every day. I have two beautiful children that I'm extremely proud of. I have, you know, I was granted another day on this planet. It's as simple as that. I was granted a day to wake up and take another breath. And so for me, you know, and then working with you, we came up with this being open, finding the mentor, being practicing being fearless and practicing gratefulness. We came up with OMFG.
Yeah.
You know, because how many times have you said that? You walk into a situation, you're like, OMFG, really? And nine times out of 10, that will have a negative connotation. It's usually a situation you don't want to be in. I'm challenging you and your listeners to reframe that. OMFG is no longer, oh my God.
Yep.
We're open. We have mentors. We're going to be fearless, and we're going to practice gratefulness, and that will give us purpose.
I love it.
And so
the O is
for me,
the O is what? Open?
Being open.
Being
the
open.
M is to find a mentor.
Is
or
the what?
To be a, to find a mentor.
Okay, mentoring.
Or to be one.
Yep.
You can that need to be one as well. To be fearless.
Yep.
Be grateful.
And then be grateful. I love it. Open-minded,
and
by
doing,
mentor, being fearless, and be grateful. I love it.
And by doing all of those things, I believe that you'll find your purpose. Those opportunities will open up, and you will find the reason why things happen to you. I feel like that, you know, now the reason that I was forced into this situation was so that I would jump off that cliff and really start to focus on launching this business and to put myself out there. So for me, it was very transformational. I found a new passion for my work as a nurse, and I found a new passion for serving people even outside of that realm. And it's empowering and it's fun. It's fun.
As a nurse, I would think that, and maybe I'm being too literal, but I would think that as a nurse, what would be considered failure might be catastrophic, like might be life ending for a patient,
that
right?
Is,
I mean, if you fail. Yeah, if you fail to check their allergies to medications and you give them penicillin or you give them, you know, something that they're allergic to, Dilaudid, whatever. If you fail to check their chart or to check, you know, like if you don't do these things or if you're trying and maybe they're in a car accident or maybe they have a gunshot wound or maybe something comes in as a trauma nurse. Somebody comes in, right, and you just can't save them. You almost feel like the failure because my job is to save people, and you can't save everybody. But I feel like the nurses and doctors, everybody in the medical field would start to feel like a failure if you start to lose patients.
And you do. And I've had that moment. So my father passed away 10 years ago. He had cancer, and he actually passed away in the ICU that I was the director of. So under my leadership, in my hospital, in my unit. And I've been a nurse for, this was 10 years ago, so I've been a nurse for about 12 or 13 years. And I struggled for years with, I have been saving lives for the better part of a decade. And when it really mattered, I couldn't get it done. I couldn't fix it, and my dad died. Now, I know, logically, I had no control over that, and his fate, that was what it was supposed to be. Now, he also died under his on his terms. We honored his wishes, and he's very comfortable, very peaceful, not a problem. But I struggled with that for years because as a nurse, I'm supposed to fix it, and I failed. And as a daughter, I felt like a failure.
Wow.
Yeah, and what you're saying is very real. When we lose patients, whether it was within our control or not, doesn't come into play. It's what we're supposed to do. And so when I have nurses that work with me that go through those experiences, I sit down with them and say, okay, how are we going to cope with this? Was not something that we could control. This was an inevitable outcome to this situation. How are we going to cope? What did you learn? And we talk about what were you able to do for that family and for that patient.
Okay.
In helping them either make that life-ending decision as far as they hold care or whatever, but, you know, how did you serve them? Because that's still being a nurse. It's still part of the deal.
Right.
Or when, you know, when we code someone and we do all of the heroic measures and it still doesn't have the outcome that we wanted, you know, what would we do differently next time? What would we... That's why we are constantly looking at results and our outcomes and our processes, because we know that we can fail, but we try to eliminate that. But when it happens, the question isn't, why did that happen? The question is, what did we learn so that it doesn't happen again?
Right. Is that part of the growing through failure portion, is like, how did this happen? You know, so you're basically reflecting back on the moment, you know, and say, did we do everything necessary to make sure that we did not fail? You know, and sometimes you can go back and kind of case study it a little bit. Like, hey, you have all these case studies of failure. Like, I made this decision and this didn't happen that way. And okay, don't make that decision again. And even in your personal life, you know, we're always making decisions. We're always, you know, trying to move forward. But sometimes we just don't have a way to get forward. Sometimes we just are stuck. So how do we grow from the failure?
Well, and that's where finding a mentor or someone that you trust that you can ask those, that you can have that conversation with. So getting stuck is a real thing. People can be paralyzed by their failure. And their fear of moving forward, or their I don't know how to step forward. And so that's where the mentor part comes in. Finding someone that you can have a very candid conversation with. Mentors are not, they're not people that necessarily, they're not teachers. They're not people that are going to teach you how to do a skill. They're people that, there's a difference between an instructor and a mentor. Mentors are people that you have typically a longer-term relationship with. It's usually around more of personal growth than it is developing skill. And so find those people that you trust, that you know that you can have those very, very open and candid conversations with about this scares the bejesus out of me, or I don't know what my next steps are. That are not afraid to ask you the hard question. Now, sometimes being a mentor to somebody is really looking at them, holding that mirror up to their face to say, like, are you kidding? And they ask you the hard question, well, why do you think that? Well, it's just a thing. No, nope, not a good answer. Tell me why. What's behind that belief? What shaped it?
Right.
Where did that come from? And they force you to go deeper. But that's why those relationships are so very important. You know, and that, I
love
think
it.
That's part of why that's why I do this, is because I've had those mentors, and it's time for me to step up and be one.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're halfway through the show, listeners. If you have any questions for myself or Trista about failure, about anything that we've talked about, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, 657-383-1109. So you talked something about being stuck, and people are paralyzed by their failure. You know, either they don't want to fail again, or they're afraid to move forward because that failure might have been super unexpected. But before, you said that you believe that failure is a myth or a perception. Talk more about that. What do you mean it's a myth? What do you mean it's a perception, a myth?
Well, I think it's because the definition that we attach to failure is the myth of that you didn't do something right, that you somehow screwed up something, and so you failed. No, that part is a perception, a myth. Failure is that we didn't get the expected result this time. So if we wanted a different result, then do things differently, and then we achieve the result. So it's really not a failure. It's not a one and done. Oh, it didn't work, so we're not going to do it again. We do it differently. So it's really not, and we do this in day-to-day life. I mean, so you drive to work, and there's a traffic jam. You take an alternate route to work. It's as simple as that, and there's no question about that. There's no, you didn't go the right way to work. Nobody's talking to you about that. You found an alternate way to get the same result that you would have had if you'd have gone the way you normally go, right? So,
definitely.
I took a certain path. I ran into a roadblock, so I went around it, and I went a different way. A failure. I just found a different way to get the same outcome. The failure is when we go, well, there's a traffic jam, or there's a roadblock, road's closed, I'm going to sit here. That's just dumb.
Well, stuck, can't go anywhere.
Nope, stuck, can't do it. And so so I think we have typically three responses to situations. We usually will have emotional response, which is pure unadulterated emotion, fear, anger, happiness, frustration, whatever. No regards for facts or logic, and is completely your emotional brain. And that's usually when people are reactive and they'll lash out or have an outburst or cry or whatever. Some people will have what I call a linear response, and they are completely fact-based. I'm going to do all my research. I've got the data. I'm doing calculations. I'm following the policies. This is what I'm doing based on that information. And they negate the emotional piece. And so somewhere in between, you have to have a balance between those two things. And so that, for me, I call that a conceptual response. Connects the emotion. It connects your emotion to your logic. It addresses the underlying issues and the relationship between the logic and the emotion. Because we will fool ourselves into thinking that our emotions are logic because we feel justified in them. You know, I was angry about losing my job, and I felt justified in that because they did this to me. Well, you know, yeah, so you can live there, and that's fine, but you're not going to go anywhere. You're going to set up camp, and you're going to live there. So we somehow have to get, and that's where my transformation did take place, is where I finally connected my emotional of, holy crap, I need to find a job, and I'm scared, to my logic of, how do I do that? I need to look at other hospitals. I need to look at, you know, doctor's offices or wherever I need to look.
I needed to pull out my experience, my intuition. I needed to do research on what jobs were out there. I needed to connect both my linear thinking and my emotional thinking in order to produce the outcomes that I needed. When we do that, I think it allows people to get more creative. I think that's where the openness comes from. Then we can be more open to opportunities. I think it leads to a higher understanding of the situation. So for me, it led me to just a different way of thinking about a path that my life had taken at that point. And then I was able to go, you know what? Other people are probably experiencing this, and I bet I can help them figure out how to navigate it successfully, how to go around the roadblock. And that's how
Very
I got
cool.
here. So.
Very cool. Very cool. So if someone wants to book you to speak, you know, what audience do you typically have? Is it mostly women? Is it mostly men? If someone wanted to book you to speak, what would be your ideal audience?
I find that women mostly are drawn to this. As far as failure, because,
you know, we, in my generation, we were taught that you can have it all, the kids, the house, the job, the career.
Right.
You know, and we try, I read a thing on Facebook the other day that said, we want women to work like they don't have children and be a parent like they don't have a job.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Empowering and super. And it hit me really hard. That is not to negate the fact that men do the same. You know, there are dads out there that work just as hard as any mom to be both the parent and the breadwinner and all of that stuff. So I don't want to take that away from any father or husband. But I do find that women struggle with the failure piece a little bit more. So I tend to gravitate toward that audience. I think because men, you know, when they fail, it's kind of like when men have arguments with other men. Y'all may go out and like beat the holy mess out of each other and then go have a beer 30 minutes later. Whereas women will hold a grudge for like a decade, and we make that differently. And so, I think for me, my core audience is more women who are either just starting out into their career, kind of figuring out how to balance life with their work. You know, how do I be the wife, mom, and the business person? Or people who are kind of into that career and now they're looking for something more. How do I get that promotion? Or I didn't get that promotion. What do I do now? They may want to lean into, like I find it in my nursing career, people that want to go from staff nursing or floor nursing into a leadership position.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'll have conversations about what are the steps you need to take to do that.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of both. Do a little bit of both of those things.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you say it that way, because I think society has placed a stereotype on the roles of men and roles of women. And doesn't have anything to do with the Bible saying that what, you know, a men's job is this or a woman's job or, you know, whatever. You know, both of my grandmothers don't even have driver's licenses, nor have I ever seen them operate a car. But they've always made sure that dinner was done. Everybody is hanging out at the house for Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever, and the women are cooking and the men are watching football and drinking beer and, you know, whatever it is, you know. So there's always – I believe that there's like a misconception, because I also have aunts that are amazing entrepreneurs and business owners that are absolutely crushing it. And they've raised their kids while doing this business. And, you know, and so, you know, I look at my mom – who was the exact opposite, worked 2 to 3 jobs as a single mom, worked 2 to 3 jobs, was married at one. I mean, you know, my mom and dad divorced when I was like kindergarten, like first grade, but she remarried a guy who was super abusive, But she worked two or three jobs while he sat at home and didn't do anything.
Right.
And worked
that's part
two
of that
three jobs.
Cycle, though.
Just to make sure that we had what we needed. You know? Mm-hmm. So society puts this label or puts this cloud, you know, over women's heads saying you have to be the mom, you know, the main parent. Oh, and you have to work and run a business or be a high level CEO, you know, or whatever. Oh, and we're not going to give you the minimum wage that you deserve. But if you look, I mean, they're all facts, you know, statistics say that women are not paid as much as men in certain career fields. I wouldn't say all, but you can literally Google the pay scales. Right. And it just literally, I'm Googling it right now, and it just literally is not the same. Women in some careers are paid less than men who do the same, who are, you know, do the same job. So,
absolutely.
And I think there's a more emotional attachment to failure that women have than men. Yeah. You know, we're supposed to be the providers, but who says that men are the providers and women are not the providers? Like, I know plenty of women that love working and actually make more than their husband, which is absolutely phenomenal. I thought that was super cool. But yeah, I mean, there's, you know, less, you know, equal pay or whatever. Women are more emotional than men, so their failures are a lot more, you know, what do you call it? They're bigger, like, they're, you know. So
I think when a man doesn't succeed at something, he has a different mindset about it. It's he can disconnect that thing from him as a person. Women tend to tie their success to their identity.
That,
like, if you ask me, Trista, tell me three things about yourself. The first three things I'm going to tell you, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, and I'm a nurse.
Yeah.
Those are the things that I tell you. So being a parent is part of how I identify. Being a wife is part of how I identify. Being a nurse is part of my identity. Those three things are genuinely part of my DNA. If I can't be one of those three things, I see myself as a failure. And men don't do that. They don't tie that. It's like, well, I failed at that job. It was a job. It's not me. It's not part of how you identify. I'm not saying that they don't have emotions about that, that they don't feel bad about it or whatever. They can just compartmentalize it differently.
That's true.
It's just a different thing. And so for me, my target audience being women has nothing to do with, ooh, I'd rather talk to women or I'd rather help women. It's not that. It's more of that's just the mindset that I have about this tends to lead me to women audiences more often than not.
Got it. Okay, cool. Perfect.
But hopefully, so, there are in those audiences, though, maybe it'll give them a little insight as to how women in their life are thinking.
Sure. Yeah, no, that absolutely, 100%. So for those listening, if you're looking for a speaker to talk about failure and how you react and overcome and all that, you know, I think Trista would be an amazing recommendation, you know, for you to book her to speak. So speaking of that, let's do the shameless plug as we start to wrap up the show. Let's do a shameless plug. You can plug friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, whatever it is that you want the listeners to know and do. This is your moment. Shameless plug. Go.
So my website is stepforwardtofly.com, www.stepforwardtofly.com. And that has places where you can contact me. My email is on there, and you can contact me through that website. I do one-on-one coaching. So if it's an individual that says, gosh, I really want to know more about that. I really want to see if that's going to maybe help me move forward in whatever thing that they're dealing with, I do those one-on-one coachings. I also do speaking engagements. So I have done a commencement speech for a graduating class of nurses.
I've done some youth speaking with one of the local community youth groups and different things like that. So I am open to coming and speaking to various, whether it be a school or other leaders, groups of leaders. I've also done presentations about stress management for groups of leaders and how do you kind of cope with your chaos. And taking care of self-care is a big thing of mine. I very much believe that you can't take care of other people unless you're taking care of yourself first.
Right.
So coping mechanisms and how to make it okay to take care of yourself. Because again, as women, we don't do that. I'm not sure a lot of men do either. And then I also have a Facebook page, which is at the bottom of your, my bio on the, on the radio show. And it's Step Forward to Fly Coaching on Facebook. So reach out there if you've just got questions or comments about what you heard today. I love that feedback. I'm always trying to craft my message and to make it better. So if there's feedback that your listeners have that they would like to put on there, I welcome that. I'd love to hear back from your listeners.
I love it. Outstanding. Love it. So as we close, we always leave the audience with a takeaway, with a nugget of knowledge. So give us a nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today.
I think my nugget of knowledge for people is that if you allow failure to paralyze you and you get stuck, I want you to think about the things that you may be missing because you've allowed yourself to get stuck. So take an action, even if it's a baby step. If it's reaching out to a mentor, if it's just having a conversation with someone about where you are as far as being stuck, do that.
Yeah.
Because that small, what may feel like just the most minute action for you could change your life. It could open up doors for you that you never imagined, and all it takes is a mustard seed worth of effort.
I love it. I love it. And some of the listeners are listening and messaging saying, great info. Women are expected to work like they don't have kids and parents, like they don't have a job. Wow, this is so true. So you're reaching a female audience right now, listening to the show, messaging me about our conversation. So, you know, you're not the only one that, you know, that believes that and sees that. So I just wanted to recognize, you know, the truth bombs that were laid today. Trista, you were absolutely amazing. Love the title, Growth Mindset Mentor. Love that. A lot of people are afraid of failure. They don't want to go through failure, but you teach them to grow from the failure, not just go, but to grow
Absolutely.
From it. So I really appreciate you coming on the show and taking time to speak to my listeners. I really appreciate it.
I loved being here. Thank you so much for letting me be on your show. And like I said, if any of your listeners have feedback or want to get in touch with me, please reach out. I'd love to hear from you all.
Awesome. Yep, absolutely. Reach out to Trista. She is absolutely amazing at what she does. So thank you for coming on the show. So Life Transformation Radio, another amazing guest, another impactful conversation that transforms. If anything resonated with you that Trista or I talked about, you can contact us, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact Trista at StepForwardToFly.com. You can look up her Facebook, Step Forward to Fly Coaching. If you're struggling with failure or you feel like a failure, please reach out to Trista and she will talk with you and run you through some life-changing steps in order for you to overcome the failures that you're currently experiencing and reframe your mindset in order to grow from the failure. So with that, I ask that you subscribe, rate, and review Life Transformation Radio wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts, and never miss an episode. So as we close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.